are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at Lighthouse Chapel International Memphis by Reverend Kodra Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
With your people singing praises, I love to stand and rejoice. Lift my hands.
Comes as a hammer to blast off any evil. Thank you. It comes to cleanse. Thank you that it comes to deliver. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you'll do it again in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Well, this is the second of a series of seminars that we are organizing. Just number one, for soul winning, and number two, to strengthen us in various aspects of our everyday life. Bible says wisdom is profitable to direct. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I believe in verse number 10, it says that if the iron is blunt or the axe is dull or blunt, and then one has to put to, and you don't sharpen it, then you have to put more strength to it, you know. But wisdom brings success, or wisdom is profitable to direct. You know, the New King James says, if the axe is dull or, you know, not sharp, and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. What it means is that a lot of times we're doing many things that we're using a lot of brute strength when there are strategies, when there are solutions, when there are sharper, smarter ways of doing things. And one of the smartest ways of doing or of going through life is to go through life with what has been tested. Amen. The word of God has been passed through fire, tested over the years. People have tried to burn the word. Everything they've done, it hasn't worked. It's here and it's proven to be the right way. So as we come in our parenting, in our desire to raise godly and good kids, the best source of wisdom is the Word of God. Why do I say that? Because already, I mean, we all know that children are from God. See, when I have my car from Toyota or from Ford, and I am having difficulty operating the car, I don't think that the best person that I should go to is the bank manager. No. I don't think that it is the right thing to go and ask my sister that, you know, this car from Ford is not working. The best place to go is to go to the Ford dealership or the manufacturers. Sometimes all they need to do is to click here and here. They put one or two things there, and then a screen shows up. It pops up. Boom, this is what is wrong. We're going to replace this. We're going to put this in place. We're going to fill with some water, some oil here. Boom. And then it's running as good as new. Your child will run as good as new, coming from God in Jesus' name. All right. Why am I saying this? Bible says in Psalm 127 from verse 3 to 5. Okay, that's the first thing I want you to know. As we come through this, you know, seminar, and the theme is biblical solutions to parenting challenges. And the emphasis is on biblical solutions. I'm not here to give you philosophies. This morning I heard a certain lady saying that, you know, you should treat your child as your co-equal. If you respect your colleagues, you know, that are working with you, then you should give the same respect, give them the same value. What if otherwise they will feel inferiority, otherwise they will feel they are not heard and all that? I say, ooh, where is that in the Bible? Yeah, it's okay. Let your child be able to call you Joe so that they will be confident and build, be what they want to be rather than what you want them to be. Hey, I mean, this is real talk being given. I just started to just scan through what is out there and I was shocked. I thought I was the only person surprised. And my wife screamed, who is this? Ladies and gentlemen, so there are a lot of these things out there that are not from the manufacturer. What we're trying to do is to go to the dealership to find out, the manufacturer to find out, what is it that we're doing wrong? in what you gave us. How do we operate it to make it better? That's why we call it biblical solutions, not philosophical solutions, not medical solutions, not psychiatric solutions, not psychological solutions. All right, so first I want to lay a foundation that, number one, that children are from God. From God. And the Bible says in Psalm 127, from verse 3 to 5, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord. Other versions say they are a blessing from the Lord. Children are a heritage from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. So God has rewarded you. I'm sure that if you go to work and or you go to school and you are rewarded with a good job, if you don't take time, that reward will not benefit you because you can mess up your job. You see that? So reward is supposed to be something for some work that you have done. Okay, to carry a child for 9 months and to, I mean, it's a sign of trust. Hallelujah. So first of all, children are from God and they are inherited. We inherited them from God. Remember that. A heritage means you inherited. That's the source. You see that? You did not create children. Now, when you say an inheritance, when my father died and had a few things, we inherited. We didn't buy them. Okay? So that is the one who gave it. So God says children are a heritage. So we are stewards of things that are given to us that we don't create. There is nothing that human beings ever created. We have inventions, we have discoveries, we never have creation because God is a creator of everything. Okay? So God created children through us as a channel. We have to always remember that, for which reason we can therefore say, number one, children, the original owner of children is God. They are God's property and we are stewards of them. Do you know that in America, your child is really not your child? Yeah, until they are 18, you don't own them. And if they find that you are misusing and abusing children, they will take the child from you. Did you know that? Uh-huh. Now, if America can say that, then God should be able to say that. America never created. We just happen to be Americans, and they call our children Americans. Doreen, good to see you. American citizens. And therefore, when, for example, they see you abusing a child, they can take the child from you. Yeah. What's child services will take it, and they do. Why do they do that? Because you are manhandling, abusing, misusing. They have something in mind about how to raise a child. Whether it's good or bad, that's up to them. But if they can have that kind of confidence, why don't you think that God should be able to have that kind of confidence? Who created it? Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. If America has standards, well, guess what? God has better standards of bringing up children. And I'm going to show you from the Bible the godly standards by which we should bring up our children. Amen. 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 All right. So now what I'm happy about is that one time I saw on the television where a mother spanked the child and the child called 911. The police came in. And then the police asked what exactly happened. And then I think some of you must have seen it on YouTube or Facebook. The police came and the child said, yeah, my mother beat me. So what did he do? Spanked me with a belt or something. Really? What did you do? And said what you did. And how they talked. The man didn't say anything. But just as the child was explaining the rudeness, the police said, okay, I'm also going to remove my belt. You're going to get another one the next time you misbehave. And I was so excited because somebody understood. You see, what many people call abuse is actually not abuse. It's correction. Amen. All right, so let's get reoriented. Tell somebody you're about to be reoriented about how to bring up a child. So number one, the original owner of our children is God. We are stewards. Number two, children are a blessing, not a curse. Yeah.
Or rather, how are you?
Mark, I met you when I came to Alabama, remember? Children, how's your wife? Cool, wow. Nice to meet you. Children are a blessing, not a curse. When you see your child misbehaving, it's not a curse. If you're driving your car and then the gas runs out, it's not a curse. It's a blessing. You have to just fix it. If you're driving a car and the battery is off and then the lights are not coming on, don't make it a curse. Now, if you don't fix it and you keep running on it like that, whatever it is, your tire pressure goes out, you keep running, now you can destroy it. You've got to do something about it so that you can continue enjoying the blessing in that car. A car is a blessing. A child, God says children are a blessing. King James. Or which version? Show us. It's a heritage and also it's a blessing from the Lord. And I'm sure if God is giving you an inheritance as a reward, will not give you a curse. Yeah. He said it's an inheritance, it's a blessing, it's a reward. Now, if you've done something and I want to reward you, do you think I'm going to give you a curse? I reward you with a slap. No. No. So, tell somebody, my child is a blessing. Tell somebody, our children are a blessing. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then it goes on in verse 4. Psalm 127 verse 4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. You see the point? Like arrows. So children are also a weapon of active offense for you. Yeah. Children are a weapon of active offense. You can, that means that, you see, and even the Bible explains in verse 5, it says that they will stand, happy is the man who has his quivers full of them. It's about time to increase the number of our children. Yeah, I have three boys. When you're leaving, tell my wife, we need a girl, or two, or three. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. God said, increase and multiply and replenish the earth, isn't it? Yeah. So I'm ready to obey God's word in whichever form or fashion. Some of the wives are causing us to be disobedient. But we forgive them. Amen. Tell somebody, forgive the wives. My wife says, it's my fault. He gave me three chances and I only produce boys. He can't trust me with a fourth chance. Chances are that I am going to have a boy. So look at somebody, she's happy. You, your husband gave you four boys. I'm better than him. That. Amen. Now, it says, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Ladies and gentlemen, we are young, and therefore the troubles we see, paying fees, riding, driving them, it's painful. But believe me, you'll be happy. I said, you will be happy in the name of Jesus. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. I prophesy, you will not be ashamed. I declare, you will not be ashamed. The pain you are going through, it's not going to be there anymore at a point. They shall not be ashamed. But they shall speak with their enemies at the gate. What is your enemy? They will speak at the gate. Yeah. Sometimes your enemy may be finances. Your child will speak to finances because now he's of age. Yeah. Sometimes some people will try to come and attack you. They see three strong boys. And they say, no, this is not the right house to go to. We may leave killed. We may be killed before we leave. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, they can't take you for granted. Sometimes it's your children in warfare for you, prayer. Praying for their mother, praying for their father. Yeah, carrying, we are driving you here. And that's a protection. Oh, mommy, rest, we'll drive you. Yeah, recently we're talking about it. Rest. We travel and I'm tired and I just sleep and then he just drives me. Oh, your child is a blessing. You'll be happy. Those of you who don't have children, try and have children and have a lot in Jesus' name. And if you have an extra that you think is too much, bring the girl. I will adopt her in Jesus' name. All right. Now, having said all that as an introduction, because this is what the word of God is, and I believe it. that children are God's own, God's property. We, America calls the children before 18, children of the state. We will call our children, children of our God. Yeah. And I'll show you some things where God says that, look, if you don't become a priest or acquire knowledge about bringing up, then I will also forsake your children. Yeah. It's true. And that's the reason why in America, because they are children of the state, when you give birth to a child and you don't have the finances, they give you food stamps. It's not because of your big body. It's because of those little children. They will give you, they will take care of the kids. Yeah, they will give insurance that you don't have, at least to the kids. And through the kids, you may even have an insurance. Because they are children of the state. God takes care of our children and will take care of yours, in Jesus' name. All right. Now, even the greatest weapons handled wrongly can bring harm. It's something called friendly fire. Yeah. Okay. Bible says a foolish son is a calamity of the parents. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 13. A foolish son is the ruin or calamity. King James says calamity of his father. That word calamity is a big word. Even the way it sounds, calamity. You know. So a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Now, when a wife is contentious, people are frustrated. Yeah. When a child is foolish, parents are frustrated. You know, at a certain stage of our life, my wife and I, our prayers were all about the children. Because some foolishness was coming into big time. How many have gotten through that stage before? Some of you are even in that stage. I mean, you pray and cry and all kinds of things. Now, that word calamity is the word hawa. Somebody say hawa. Yeah. It means the thing is, by implication, for mischievous. Yeah, it's a calamity. It's the mischief, frustration, pouring or falling, rushing onto you, wickedness, calamity, perverse, wrong way. So that a foolish child wraps the parent the wrong way, brings frustration that rushes on you, that seems to overwhelm you. Amen. But Proverbs chapter 1, chapter 10 and verse 1 says something else over there, you know, that a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So it means that you can choose what kind of son you want to have. You want to be glad, you choose a wise son. You choose to produce a wise son. You want to be heavy or depressed, then you choose to have a foolish son. But I don't think anybody is here who wants to walk in depression. Yeah. So your son can become wise and will become wise. You will not have a foolish son in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? So decide that I will have a wise son. I will have a wise daughter. I will tell somebody, I will have a wise child. My children will be wise. They will not be foolish. I will not have calamity. I will have gladness. I will have gladness. I am here to have gladness. I came with calamity. But I will live with gladness in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, so the first thing we have established, children are from God. They are a reward. God is not trying to give you anything bad. If they turn out to be bad, it's not an inheritance from God that we have made it bad. I think it's a good way to look at it. You see that? I mean, when you look at babies, you don't see anything bad. I mean, babies are the cutest little things you can find. Coo, 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 coo. You see, everywhere that my babies went when they were kids, oh, how cute. Oh, how nice. How innocent looking. Yeah. So I think that God gave the children to us innocent. They didn't know anything. Everything, it's just children are like computers. What you put in them is what you get. When you buy a computer, there's nothing in the storage. There's only memory space. There's only storage space. You store what you want, and whatever you want to produce, that's what they will bring you. And when we accept the fact, that fact, then we can do well. Because initially it's a blessing, it's an inheritance. I want to take responsibility for the way my children go. Yeah. And you must. Why do I say that? I'm saying that to bring us to a certain point. Because like computers, that's what it is. Now, Adam and Eve in the garden, when God created them, he put his spirit in them and he made them in his own image. Yeah. In his own image. Now, when they were made in that image, then Satan came corrupting that image, changing the spirit essential core through deception. And then suddenly, they were changed. When God came and said, Adam, where are you? He hid himself. And he said, I'm naked. I heard about you and I hid myself because I'm naked. Say, who told you you are naked? Have you eaten of the fruit? Corrupted PC. And then he said, the woman that you gave me, that woman. Initially, he was calling the woman, woo, man, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. But then when there were issues, that's what some of the parents do. When there are issues, only problem, only thing we do is fight. We don't even sit down and say, look, maybe we did this wrong or we didn't do this right or we can do this better. Yeah. One time when I was seeking counsel from a friend while I was going to get married, he said, only one counsel I'll give you. Whenever there's an issue, ask yourself, what did you do wrong to create this issue? And number two, what can I do to make this better? Don't point to anybody. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Two things. That's all he told me. I will never forget that. I'll never forget that. And he says, help me. In the same way, ask yourself that and so that you can change. Because in Satan's case, when Adam said, it is your wife, it is the woman you give me, then Eve was asked, he said, the serpent. But when God came to the serpent, he didn't argue. He said, put it on me. Let them blame me. Once they can't take the blame, they can't help themselves. Yeah. Once they push the blame on me, I'm a garbage can. I know. I'm called Satan. I'm called the devil. That's what he said. Everybody knows that I'm bad. Push it on me. I caused the problem. And let them all deflect it, that there is nothing they did wrong. Once they have that mentality, I know that they have lost the power to correct it. If you think you are not the fault, why will you correct it? That is the thing that is killing us and killing our children. Today, I'm not here to make you feel guilty, but I'm here to make us have accountability, responsibility, so that we can take the power back rather than give it to the devil who doesn't mind anything. Clap for the Lord Jesus. All right? So let's realize that there are things we can change, things we can do. It doesn't make you a bad parent. It just, Bible says, the days of ignorance, the Lord winked at. When they wink and says, I've seen you, but you know, I'm not going to mind you. It's all right. Pass it on. Play on. I won't whistle. It's called the days of ignorance. God winked at. So fear not. But now knowledge is coming. Hallelujah. So just sit right, sit tight, and let's ponder on some of the things that we did wrong, some of the things we can do better, some of the things we fed the computer, the PC, that we need to remove. You know, we need to put antivirus and things like that. You remove the corruption. Some of them, we have to change the motherboard. Is it motherboard they call it? Is that correct? Wow, I'm not too bad. Clap for the Lord Jesus. IT specialist. But Spencer said what? I auditing. I know. All right. You should listen to that camp. Man of the Lord camp. Everything by prayer, nothing without prayer. That man spoke and we didn't understand what he was saying. But now I have to interpret. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we are here to do. Okay. So the first thing is God is the one who gave us. The second thing, major thing that I want to say is that life has started for your kids. It won't start later. It has already started. You know, because some of us, the thing that we makes us make mistake is that we think that life will start later for our kids. It started already. Let me tell you, every child is accountable for their behavior at 18 months. Statistics show. Yeah. Yeah. 18 months. Go and show. 18 months. When they're 18 months. Not that they're accountable, they know what they're doing, but they can respond to rebuke. They can actually manipulate. They even know when I do, they will pick me up. Yeah. 18 months. They can plan and plot. Mm-hmm. They can plan and plot. If they cannot plan and plot, then it means there's something wrong. Almost all children can plan and plot. So from 18 months, we can start making them accountable for their behavior. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Things are changing. Things are changing. Things are changing. Pastor, please come and sit with your wife right here. Oh, yeah. Clap for them. Clap for them. That's Pastor Titus and the beautiful wife, Sister Titus. Wow. And you know, I want them to become, can you move? Such, I want them to come closer to their pastor. Come, come and sit in front. Clap for them. Come. Promote them right in front there. They've driven the longest. Yeah. And you know, the people that are here, they've heard everything that I preach, so they didn't come in. That's what they are saying. Mm-hmm. Is the Bible coming through? A prophet is not that without honor, except. So people have traveled from afar. Uh-huh. Yeah, and Jesus rebuked the people that, look, even the Queen of Sheba, he traveled all the way. But you, a wiser than King Solomon is here, a greater than Solomon is here, and then what are you doing? Mercy. It's Bible just being played out. But clap for yourselves for being here. You deserve an honor. So life has started. It's not just starting. It has already started. It started when your child was 18 months. Yeah. Things were being sown. Behavior was being established. Yeah. Lifestyle was being. Habits are difficult to remove once they are established. One person told me habit, H-A-B-I-T, is a strong word. Remove H. A bit is still there. Habit, H-A-B-I-T. Remove H. A bit is still there. Okay, let's keep going. Remove A. That bit is there. B-I-T is still there. Remove the B. It is still there. It takes you going to the very last word. Then you move one before. So don't let habits establish. Deal with them before they get established. Because once they're established, it's hard to remove them. Yeah. So me, from 18 months, we knew that we started working on these kids biblically and from what the Bible said we should do. Yeah. And we're going to be doing that by God. So life has started. Okay. Bible says in Psalm 11 verse 3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Okay. If you don't have good foundation, you can't do much. If the foundation is destroyed, you can't do what? You are righteous. You have all the intention to do the right things, but it's founded on wrong foundations. What can you do? So it's better to take time and build a good foundation. Every building you see has a foundation. If the foundation is wrong, you would see this place will be leaking, the building it will not be habitable. You will not be happy. So how far do you want to build in that child? That determines how deep you should build, how much you should invest in the child. Remember, we said children are a blessing from the Lord. When you see foolishness, you are seeing some activity, but they are a blessing. They are a blessing. Anything that is a blessing, you can remove certain things. You see the blessing. If it's chocolate indeed, then remove the wrapper. You will see the brown thing inside. Don't be worried about the rest. Something that is dirty because the outside is dirty. Remove the wrapper. You find something. So we are about to remove wrappers to get to the core, the blessing, in Jesus' name. And they're from God. So it means it's a good thing. That your child who is behaving foolish, like Jesus Christ calls us, we have sinned, but we are not sinners. Once, if a minimum be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. I'm a Christian, essentially, at core. If I am truly born again, my behavior must be dealt with. I should not remove. That's why we don't sack people from church. Yeah. We can move you from place to place, and if you want to resign, you can resign. But we won't sack you. Amen. Yeah. Because it's like kicking out a patient from the hospital. Where is he supposed to be? Well. Okay? So we don't throw children away. We work on them. Right. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, we work on children. We don't throw them away. Okay. So that's the thing. Life has started. Foundations started. And if you don't take care, if you think that you're going to try and work on it later, you'll be surprised. The devil tried to kill Jesus while he was a baby. Because baby Jesus is the person who will become King Jesus. Yeah. So if you want to kill, kill now. It is that caterpillar you see that's going to become the butterfly. So if you are waiting to see butterfly before you start, you know, using it for the, you're wrong. Yeah. While they are butterfly, while they are caterpillar, that's when you have to maintain, you have to really keep, bring up properly so that you can get a butterfly. Okay. The devil knew that. Don't underestimate that baby. Let me tell you why I also say that. Because I am now on a platform that is made up of students that I was with in elementary school. Elementary school. That means sixth grade, fifth grade. And some of them went with me to middle school. So that means what? Seventh grade and things. We're on the platform together. You won't believe it. The people that acted foolishly, that would not accept correction, that were rebelling in class, those are the people, most of them, number one, they are not married. Number two, they don't have good jobs. Number three, the jokes that they bring. One day somebody came and put a joke. The joke was a naked woman with open legs. And this is the same behavior that they were behaving when we were in class. Don't joke with behaviors you see. Life has started. We don't deal with it. They will live on. It's time to deal with it now. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Same people. Same people. Job, behavior, everything. It's just like we've gone to the class again. So, just a bigger version. I'm telling you, it's important to take seriously the defects we see in the kids. We don't do it, they will be there. Let me tell you something. If we don't remove the defects, teachers will have to struggle to remove it. They may not be able to. Principals may not be able to. The next thing at the job place, the boss will have to deal with it, including firing them. If it is not done, then even in marriage, now the spouse has to inherit foolishness. Eventually, it gets to the police. And when the police can't deal with it, you know what they do? They lock you up. They hide you away. It will never happen to your children in Jesus' name. So life has started. Let's pay attention to the things that are not working so that we work it. Number three. Children come wired with foolishness as default setting. Yeah. Children, when they come wired with foolishness as a default setting. You see that? With foolish actions. They come wired with foolishness as a default setting. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You see, it didn't say your child is a fool. That's a different thing. See, when somebody is essentially by core, your nature is you are fool, it's different from foolishness is bound to you. See, right now, if I am bound to this
Let's see. He's not foolish, but he's, this is foolishness. This is child. Okay? And then this is my heart. So this foolishness is bound. Okay? To this child. To this child's heart. This is my heart. Take it that my hand is connected to my heart. Okay? My hand is. So that means that, not that I'm a fool. You see, not that I'm a fool. But I am associated, foolishness, likeness, lightness, or you know, when something is, have the, has a likeness of a fool. That's what foolishness is. Yeah. So it is not, don't be intimidated, don't have frustration if foolishness is bound. It means it can be detached. Yeah. Yeah. The good thing is that foolishness is not a chemical reaction, it's a physical reaction. Yes. It's not a compound, it's a mixture. Amen. I'm talking some chemistry here, right? Yes. Doctor, am I correct? Yes. Yeah. Mixtures and compounds. Mixtures can be separated. Like bran, salt water is mixture. When you boil, you can get your salt back. You can actually condense your water to and get it back. You can separate them. Separation is a sign of a physical reaction, or it's a sign of a mixture. It's not a compound. A compound is a chemical reaction. And to produce a compound is irreversible. But physical is reversible. Foolishness is reversible. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That is why we have hope. It's reversible. It's bound to the heart. It's bound. But it's a physical binding. Not a chemical reaction. It's not a compound. A compound means you can't do anything. It's irreversible. You can't do anything about it. But that is a child. Okay. So my point is that the Bible says that is what it is. We are about to remove. So children come just by the fact that they are immature. They will do foolish things. They are not fools. Just like the same way we are Christians, so long as we are in the flesh, we will do sinful things, but we are not sinners by description at core. You check out my spirit, which is going to heaven. It is a pure Christian, 100% born again. Yeah, it's the flesh. Once they separate me from my flesh, which is what is going to happen ultimately, God will give me a glorified body and separate me. Bible says death is what? Separation of spirit and body. James chapter 2 verse 26. As the body is dead without the spirit, so is faith dead without works. So body death is an equation. Is death equals body minus spirit. Separation, it's a separation. It's not a compound. It's reversible. This thing that we are living, life, your spirit that is with your body, it's reversible. One day it will be separated out. And you'll be lying here. We do anything, you won't respond to us. We'll have to throw you out somewhere. Because your real spirit is gone. That is how foolishness is. We can deal with it. We can disconnect from the children. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. Jesus' name. All right. So the Bible says that children are wired. Okay. It says that they come wired. But the rod of correction will send it far from them. Will send it far from them. Hallelujah. Will send it far from them. Will send it far from them. Yeah. Amen. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? I am talking about how we deal with foolishness and change the nature, the binding from foolishness to wisdom. You remember I told you that a wise child makes the father's heart glad, but a foolish son is a calamity, brings heaviness to the parent. So we want to have a glad heart. That comes from a wise son. A wise son does not come like that. Unfortunately, children come wired with foolishness binding, not wisdom binding. Wisdom is put inside. So when you see that, you have to do certain things. You have to work on the foolishness, and you have to infuse wisdom. Yeah. You remove the foolishness, you infuse wisdom. You remove the foolishness, you infuse wisdom. So that is what child upbringing is all about. Infusion of wisdom, removal of foolishness. When you can do that well, you are blessed. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That's all child upbringing is about. Yeah, infusion of wisdom, removal of foolishness. So that's what we're going to talk about. Ways of removing foolishness, ways of infusing wisdom. Are you ready for that? Is it a good foundation we built so far? Then clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, having that's number what? Three? A fourth foundation I want to establish. The best chance of your child surviving, doing well, and surviving is inside of the parents. I'll say it again. The best chance of a child, number one, doing well, number two, surviving, is actually inside, planted inside of the parents. Not only the parent, but I said the best chance. That means that in addition to the parent, other people can help. But their best is when it is inside, when it's coming from the child, parent. Just like a baby, when a baby is born, the best person to feed is the mother because it's endowed with breast milk for the survival and doing well of the child. Survival from nutrition and doing well from even, you know, all the colostrum has medicinal properties and, you know, antibiotics are right there. Lactoferrins and things like that are there. They fight infections. So I'm just trying to tell you that God has set you up. You are the best person to remove foolishness and to infuse wisdom. You are the best person. Lift your hand and say, I'm the best person. God made me the best person. But when the source of wisdom is not wise, it's a problem. Amen. That is the reason why, because you are the best source of survival and doing well. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I'm telling you something you have to think about. This is right. Honor your father. What is honor? To respect, to hold in high esteem, to think well of him, to listen to his words, to obey them. All these things are honor. Yeah. To hold them in high esteem. If your child, you can't let your child respect you, it's a problem. Big problem. Because then their best chance to do well is gone. Because the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And listen to verse 3. Awesome. That it may be well with you, and that you may live long on this earth. Survival and doing well is inside of the parents' output. Wow. Wow. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah, welcome, welcome. Survival and doing well. Living long and doing well is, you see, all these things, they are interrelated, but you don't realize it. Yeah. When children are not doing well, it is because they didn't get much from their parents. A lot of times. Yeah. They didn't do well. And part of it is because they did not honor what the parents were bringing to them. And they wouldn't live long either. You see the point? So let's let our children do well. Amen. Bible says wisdom in the right hand is also long life. That's why when God gave Solomon wisdom, he also had long life and he had riches. Wisdom brings long life and riches. Wisdom brings survival and doing well. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So when you can infuse wisdom into a child, you are giving the child long life and prosperity. Yeah. It comes in various ways. It comes through upbringing. It comes through God giving wisdom. Some of the children, we may not do it well, but God will just give them wisdom. Like Solomon is not somebody who was really brought up well. Most of David's children were not brought up well. Adonijah, Absalom, Amnon, just look at them. David was not a father figure, he was a good king, a good worshiper, a father. In fact, you will see that there was a child, Adonijah, he never displeased him even once by telling him, don't do this. It's in the Bible. Never rebuked. But Solomon had Bathsheba as mother,
who infused some wisdom. And God, in trying to compensate Bathsheba for Uriah's sake, decided, I'm going to get you a child that will sit on the throne. And that child must be wise. So give wisdom to King Solomon. We have to sometimes pray when we don't know what to do. God, give my child wisdom. Make the child, I'm not too good without bringing, but you know what? Take over and infuse wisdom like King Solomon was infused with wisdom. I am a David in this respect, but help me. Yeah. Help. Tell somebody, help me, Lord. And it will happen in Jesus' name. All right, so how do we get to infuse wisdom and to remove the foolishness? Pastor Fred, why are you gossiping about me? I don't like that. Be careful. And then you're sitting by my wife, you're touching my wife. What's your problem? Clap for the Lord Jesus. Please focus the camera on Reverend Fred so that those who are watching live will see. He's covering his face. All right, now let's go in. Let's go on. You know, I was about to take a break, but I think because of Pastor Fred, I'll go on a little bit. And then we'll take a break later. So, solutions. Solutions to this riddle. How do we infuse wisdom and remove foolishness? Ways. Biblical keys. Biblical keys. Biblical keys. Number one, modeling. Model. Become a model to your child. Modeling. Number one, modeling. Wow, I don't go to Grammy Awards. You are a model. You're like, what do they do? They go and dress up and then they shake their body, shake their buttocks, shape their breath. That's not what. Yeah, my wife says I should wobble a little bit as I'm going. Mr. Cameraman. Now, modeling, the Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1, that's the biggest example of modeling, where without words, you can influence people. You know, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1, Bible says, wives, submit yourselves. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by conversation of the wives. Ladies and gentlemen, see, many times we bring up children by talking to them. That's what we try to do. Hey, don't do this. Don't. It's almost like saying, do what I say, but don't do what I do. That never works. You want to fail as a parent, just don't behave well. You will fail. It's easy. I'm giving you a trick how to fail. How to bring up bad parents, bad children. You can say all the good things, preach all the Bible you want, but if you do not behave well, that child will not end up well. There are many people that say that pastors' children don't turn out well. Have you heard that before? Do you know why? Because pastors are the most eloquent in delivering what the right things are from the pulpit. And the children, because they are children, they have to come to church with their daddy and with their mother. So they hear all the right things. But when we go back home and we do all the wrong things, they realize that the word was useless. The real action is there. And I can assure you, behavior is stronger than the word. Because here, the Bible is telling us that the word failed, but the behavior won. Bible says that these wives, if they are in subjection to their own husbands by their lifestyle, even if the husbands don't obey the word preached, they also, the women, may without needing to preach, stop preaching, the men will be won over by their conversation of the conversation of their wives. The conversation is not talking. Bring some newer, more modern version. It's conduct or behavior. Give us New King James or New Living. It says that in the same way, your wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news or the word, your godly lives, modeling lives, good behavior will speak to them without any words. They will be won over. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Some of us have gone to parenting seminars after seminars, but our behavior stinks. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So when they say that pastors' children don't do well, it's because we preach so well, but we behave so badly sometimes. And that's what it is. Let the word conform to the behavior. In fact, if you have to put emphasis on one, put emphasis on behavior. So may I make sure that my children see me praying. They know it. I make sure that they see me loving my wife. Oh, yeah. I don't just do it here. I pinch my wife at home as well. Oh, yeah. I want them to understand how to treat a woman. I can't tell. They have not married before. How can I teach them about marriage? But I'm supposed to teach them about marriage. How will I do it? What they see. Images don't go out easily. That's why pornography is so strong. And you won't clap. Yeah. What they see is so strong. So strong. So strong. So I behave well. When, for example, I promise them, if you do this, I'll punish you, I do it. So I'm a Christian. I have to live by my word. So I don't want my word and my behavior to. No. They have to conform. They have to line up. Yeah. The way I talk to my spouse is very important. Because otherwise, they'll be produced in my house. Irresponsibility will be reproduced. Yeah. Wickedness will be reproduced. Laziness will be reproduced. Polygamy will be reproduced. Without words, you don't need to tell them, go for pornography, go for polygamy, go for wickedness. They will, just by watching you. Yeah. And it's a very silent teacher, but a very potent teacher, very powerful teacher. So I watch the way I behave, not only here in church, but everywhere, at my workplace, in my home. Yeah. What you see is what you get. So all the people that they can't even shout when they have to shout, they are pretenders. Me, I can shout and I can calm down. I can fire you right now with some strong words. Tomorrow I will be massaging you. It's not a problem at all. I can forgive. Bible says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. God is like that. You must be like that. Don't be hypocrites. You will destroy your children. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. The children will be okay. Wisdom is being infused by modeling. What they see enters. Even when you look in the Bible, when Jacob was in Laban's house, he used this principle. Even in animals, when they are mating, what they see is what they become. Yeah. What you see, you'll become. You'll become. You'll become. So let's not think that we are not bringing up children because we are not saying anything. Or we're saying all the right things and doing all the wrong things. Stop it. Stop it right now. You are destroying that child. Yeah. You are destroying that child. So let's behave well. Yeah. It's in our interest to behave well. My mother said something. My father and my mother, at a certain point, they were not the best of friends. They patched up, thank God. To the point where, when my father was in hospital, my mother said, oh, please come home. Even if it's the last quarrel, come and quarrel with me. Argue with me before you go. That was very nice. I found that very romantic. I've never forgotten it. But daddy never came back. But what I'm saying is that my mother at one point in that argument said, you know what? We have 7 children by my mother and 4 others, so 11. Says that we've been in this marriage for a long time. I don't feel comfortable, but I'm going to stay. Just for the sake of the children. Yeah. Because what I do, when they see, they'll become like that. There'll be a lot of divorces. She did it. I respected my mother for that. I don't know what your situation. I'm not telling you that sit there and be killed. That's not what I'm saying. In case you are being shot. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm trying to tell you the nature of good behavior and its effect. I said, today I'm a pastor here. I'm an advocate of marriages. Anti, what's the opposite of advocate? Yeah. And you see, we are 21 years by the grace of God. Married 21 years. And last year, she married me again. By God's grace. Remember, she was asking for the rock. She got it. Finally. But she destroyed it. So it has to be replaced. But what I'm trying to say is that, so, you know, I can see that my children are very careful towards ladies. Yeah. I can see that. And they have in their minds, they think that when they go towards a lady, it means marriage. Because it's one man to one wife, one woman. They've seen that. Look, if I was polygamizing, if there's a word like that, it's not a problem at all. They will do it. So I realized that I talk to them about relationships. And all the time. And when they have a crisis, they say they are afraid because this one, I don't even know if I marry her, what's going to happen. Because I don't know her well. Because they think relationship means marriage. And marriage means forever. It's a training. It's wisdom being infused. It's longevity. Life has started. Their marriage has started. You think they are not ready to marry, but it started. Modeling is an important thing. Yeah. You're sitting at home, you're lazy, you don't want to work. That's the kind of person you're going to produce. Yeah, because I tell you, you are the best person they get these things from. You don't even need to speak behavior. Tell somebody, modeling. Yeah. You can't just keep doing for your child also what he needs to do. When you model, they have to learn to do what you do well. Amen. But let me tell you something about modeling that can also, you know, sometimes you do the thing so well that the children don't learn how to do it. And this was a problem with Job. Job 1, from verse 1 to 4. You may not have thought about it. Bible says there was a man of lust whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Verse 2. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Go on. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and all that. Now, the next verse 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. Parties. Go on. And it was so that when the days for their feasting were gone, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. You would say, this is a very pious man. That's a very good man. But that's not how to parent. What Job was doing was he was doing the praying for them. These children never learned to pray. Was doing perfect, blameless, but the children were some way. So you realize that when the devil came at the family, he couldn't get Job, but he could get the kids. Because they had not learned to be Christians themselves. They had not learned to pray. They had not learned to actually, resist the devil for themselves. You may not realize it. But that's what happens. When, as parents, the modeling, you know how to clean dishes, but your children don't know how to clean dishes. You do the laundry and they'll go and study so you get good grades. No! Good grades, my foot. Yeah. How can they will get good grades, they will get jobs, but they will not know how to clean even their desk. They will not know how to clean even their bed. And in their home, their house will stink and smell. Their clothes will be dirty. Interview, they may not have ironed. Because we know how to do it. Some girls at teenage, they don't know how to cook, including some of your children. They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to sweep. They don't know how to even brush their teeth. And I dare say some of them don't know how to take a shower properly, a bath shower properly. But their parents know how to do it. This guy knew how to pray, how to be perfect, blameless before God, how to act right, but the children didn't. What a parent. You look so spiritually sanctimonious. Just like the prophet Samuel. Samuel was very great, but his children were terrible. Eli also. Eli had Hophni and Mubarak. Hophni and Phinehas. Yeah. Eli was one of the greatest prophets. He would speak once and a baby would appear. Yeah. He was able to raise Samuel into a proper priest, but he wasn't able to raise his own children. Good priest, bad father. Good Christian, bad parent. Many of us are very good Christians, but bad parents, especially in America here. Let the children do what you do. If it is good, then let them do it. Be a model that, so you can tell them, see one, do one, then even teach one. Yeah. So at this stage, that is what the basis of the firstborn syndrome. You have to train the firstborn well. If your firstborn is not doing well, you haven't modeled well, chances are that the others will follow. So I call it focus. Modeling by teaching and producing something that the others will follow. Let them clean the dishes. Let them wash. They won't die. Let them make their beds. Let them do their chores before they go to. If they are late, so what? Let them be late. My father, he didn't care. He said, academically, Kojo, you're good. You're even too good for yourself. But my wife was told by the grandmother. What was it?
You don't become a lady just by reading books.
Thank you. Why were you, she saying that? Because of what? Because you are better, obviously. I don't have married you, so say it.
Because I didn't want to cook.
Yeah. Said, when we're coming, I ate some new. She didn't even have food, but she organized quickly some concoction that I'm very happy. I'm going to ask for it again. That's how good she has become. But because the grandmother said, I will not allow you to just go to school just because you are getting good grades. You don't become a lady just by reading. We don't read to become a lady. We follow directions and activity modeling. Raises a good child. How can you get a good job and you don't know how to clean? You don't know how to. Even your shoes are dirty. Your clothes are always not ironed. Dirty boy. I had a friend in the medical school. When you go to the room, smart medical school, you know him. Smells so bad. Food and dirty food. 4 days food is sitting here. 4 days porridge is sitting there. That guy died very early. Yeah. Read well, excellent, but had no good behavior. Tell somebody, modeling is important. Let the children do what you do. Yeah. Many of our children are not as motivated because of that. Yeah. They are not motivated. We used to go to the library. We didn't have money to take even public. We would walk to the library. But you have cars. So they have no adversity. Yeah. I brought my son to my office as he was in college. Why? They were paying him about less than $8 a month. But he had another job for $14. I said, no, you're going to work here. And there, she was cleaning scopes, dirty. When we put the thing in the rectum, after that, you clean it. Yeah, you clean it. That's a job. And he was now submitted to people of a lower educational level. We had to learn to submit. I have had to learn to submit to people like that to grow. It's necessary. You don't know when and where he will need that art. He needs to be equipped, well-rounded by modeling. So come and work here. get less and still be satisfied and manage the money. You don't have a car. He still doesn't have a car, but he's going to get a car. So by God's grace. Yeah. Told myself that I never got a car throughout my schooling. I didn't die. I learned how to organize my resources. So if I can have a car, so use my car. And I will not even mention that it's your car. Modeling. So that one day when the car breaks down, he knows where to find public transport, where the buses are. You're too wicked. Okay. Okay. Tell somebody modeling. Tell somebody modeling. So number one solution to the problem of foolishness versus wisdom is modeling. Number two solution is active discipline. We'll do these two and we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about loving, caressing, touching, all those things. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Number two, active discipline. Active discipline. And then we'll have questions and answers. Tell somebody, rod, rod, rod. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 15, the foolishness is bound to the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will send it far from him. Far from him. Far from him. When something is far, it's unlikely to catch up with you. Chances are they won't catch up with you. So, Bible says that the other way to deal with foolishness, to remove it, is by the rod of correction. Now, the rod of correction is in two types. One is a rod of the mouth, and one is a rod of punishment, or the rod of pain. Amen. There are two different ones. The rod of the mouth, the rod of the mouth is words, talking to. And every parent needs to master that skill. I think it's in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 11. You know, is that? Yeah. Good. The rod of his mouth. Now, it says that, but, you know, let's start from maybe verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Go on. And the spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Go on. Verse 3. And shall make him of quick understanding. Yeah. That means that these things will bring quick understanding. Person will be fast, smart, in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, look at this. God deals with the world using the word, the rod of his mouth. That's the word of God. The reason why we all are, from unbelievers, we've transformed to Christianity. What happened? The word of God. The word of life. Cleansing by the washing of water by the word. Cleansing by the washing of water by the word. That's how come your behavior is now clean. Spencer came to this church. I use him all the time and it's good. Came into this church. When we met, Devonia came to church because they were having a problem with the boyfriend called Spencer. They were not married. They didn't have children. And Reverend Nee was the classmate in college, coursemate, invited Devonia to church. And Devonia came and told him about the relationship. I'm out. I'm out of this relationship. I'm out. So Reverend Nee said, I said, look, what has this guy done? And as he narrated, I said, oh, this is a small problem. Yeah. Yeah. You owe Reverend Nee big time. So they resolved the issue. And then said that, you know, but this behavior must stop. I think it had to do with some other girls or something. Okay, no problem. Stopped the thing, got in church, washing of water by the word, everyone, time, word, just by the Bible. The rod of the mouth. What's it called? The rod of his mouth. The rod of God's mouth, speaking to him, speaking. I representing speaking. By the time I realized, this same Sister Devonia, who never had anything, wanted to have anything to do with Spencer, said, Spencer's a good guy. It is not because the guy is a good guy, but has been cleansed by the washing of water by the word. In hearing and in hearing. Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Children need to hear to be cleansed. Jesus Christ said they came to hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. He said there are people that they have ears that cannot hear. They have eyes that cannot see. And even their hearts have grown wax gross. They cannot. But blessed are your ears because they hear. Blessed are your eyes because they see. And blessed is your heart because it can perceive. So that you will hear, be converted, that he may heal you. Clap for the Lord. Healing is coming to your children by talking. Never stop talking to them. Never stop talking to them. Keep the thing you said, they do it again. You say it again. Don't be frustrated. Keep talking. Keep talking. The rod correction or by your mouth. The rod of correction. The rod of one day, it was one of our bishops. He had been saying something several times to the daughter. And he had given up. This thing, it will never change. And then one day came, and then the same thing. That girl was doing it naturally. So she drew near and said, what? But I started telling this you this several years ago. How come now you do it so naturally? Then the daughter said, Daddy, you thought I was not hearing. I was hearing you. And then she said, Daddy, keep talking. Daddy, keep talking. Daddy, keep talking. If I'm hearing you, keep talking. Keep talking. Tell the next parent, keep talking. It's a rod. Foolishness is going away by the rod of the mouth. By the rod of the mouth. Amen. Don't stop talking. Keep talking. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20, my son, pay attention. Attend unto my words. Let it not incline your ear unto my sayings. Incline. Want it. It's nice these days when my children can say, Daddy, what do you think about this? Yeah. Last night I was there studying, having a meeting. And my son bumped into the door. Daddy, can I talk to you? I said, wait. I'm having a meeting. Then I said, no. The meeting can wait. I paused. I said, come, son, come. Look, pay attention to your children. When they want to talk, let them talk. Sometimes when they said they want to talk, they have been thinking about it for a long time. When they gather the boldness to come, don't turn them away. Yeah. You might miss a great opportunity. The thing he talked to me about, I was amazed. I'm so happy that through discernment, I said, stop the meeting. Let them wait. I'm talking to my son. Who said that? Cain Jaffe Japhet of Zamunda. In Welcome to America. Coming to America. Yeah. He said, somebody is looking. He said, let them wait. I'm talking to my son. You should be able to tell, let them wait. Let them wait. I'm talking to my son. Yeah, talking to my son. And he managed to convert the son back home. And finally, when he was cool, released the son. Ladies and gentlemen, let's keep talking. Let's keep talking. Let's keep talking. Let's keep talking. Do you know something? Especially those of you from Africa. Those of us from America, we're not like that. Those of you from Africa, you never got the opportunity to speak to your parent. Every time your hand is behind you, you can't talk, you can't say anything. Master and child, that's not, you see, you must have a balance. Those things help, but you can't be absolute like that. Then they can't even talk to you. So some of you never spoke about marriage with your parents and you got married. Never spoke about sex. We talk about puberty. You are the safest person to speak about these things. We talk about wet dreams. We talk about girls. Yeah. Yeah. We talk about crushes. I even tell them about my crushes. Do you know about my Laura? You know about my Laura? They all know about my Laura, my first crush. That when that girl traveled suddenly I just could not sleep. I could not eat. I cried. I had sleepless nights. I had dreams that I was chasing a plane, that she was sitting in the plane, and I was riding a bicycle, and I rode and I flew, and I caught the plane by the tail. I said, "My Laura, don't go. My Laura, don't go. My Laura, don't go." And then it was singing, "I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, darling, let me go." Do you know that song? Tell somebody, "My Laura." Speak to them about your Laura. There's nothing wrong. There's no shame. Yeah. That helped my children to stop fooling around with girls. Because they were. They're handsome dudes, no? You and myself, no. By God's grace. And the girls were flowing. So I told them about my Laura. I said, "Look, at this stage, what can Laura do for you? I mean, don't you see I'm happy with my wife? I mean, is that Laura? Can you imagine she was replaced by Laura? You would not even recognize the marriage. This is the real deal. Your real deal is coming. This is just a crush. That's it. Talk to them. It will correct them. Your best. You are the safest person. Don't wait till the teacher talks to them. Don't wait till their friends talk to them. Don't wait till the internet talks to them. You can never be sure what they will tell them. You want to be a good parent? Start talking. Start talking. Start talking. Yeah, start talking. Sometimes I put them in my car. I say, "Son, let's go and take a ride." Yeah. That thing, the Lord revealed it to me. When my son was very quiet and inward, when I put him in the car, I said, "Let's talk." Started talking. For the first time, he cried, broke down. Never seen it before. I gave him a shoulder, cried, finished crying, we'll talk. Tears started rolling down my eyes. I said, "I have stopped you for too long. So I can't speak to mommy. I can't speak to you." I said, oh, sorry. Started talking. Things started flowing. Yeah, healing was taking place. You hear and be healed. Today, he's totally different. Yeah, when other people are looking for colleges far from mother, I said, "I want to stay with mommy and daddy because we talk." He has seen inside us, instructor, father, mother, but somebody who cares. Somebody who is intimate, who talks to me. "I need your words. I need your input. Your words are powerful. Start talking to them. Start talking to the girls. Start talking to the boys among your children. Don't stop. Your training was bad. Don't repeat it." Tell them, talk. 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 There's nothing we can't talk about. This afternoon, I don't know what to say. We're coming. My son was coming from the top of the stairs, wearing just boxer shorts. Then my wife just hit him like this. I said, "Look at what you're doing." Hit from the front. I said, "What are you doing?" So, "Oh, this one, I've washed it several times. I've showered it." That's the kind of relationship. Let's develop. I'm not talking about, but earlier in the morning, I heard a voice that I was even shuddering. Strong. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. Let's raise up the children with goodness and severity. When they see good, mommy is coming to chat with me about the hairs in my pubis. Yeah, sometimes we put it, "Let's cut the hair, it's too much." Yeah, we do. That's how, talk to them. Let them feel free to talk to you about it. Let them feel free. Yeah. If they don't talk to you, they will talk to somebody. If Adam had made room for Eve to speak to him, perhaps there will be no other chance to speak to the devil. Yeah. If they were on discussion terms a lot, I don't think that who is speaking to your child if you are not speaking? Because every child speaks. You want to clap your hands, I can see that. It's working. It's working. Tell somebody, it's working. It's working. It's working. Don't think they are too small. Oh, they are too young. Too young to talk about puberty. They know more. Immediately, when do you start talking to them? Immediately, you hear the first question. Start talking. They ask you, "Mommy, how did I become your child?" It's time to start talking about sex. And don't hide it. Call it what it is. Yeah. Tell the truth. Me, I don't. Hide it. It won't hurt them. They will know the truth. In these days of internet, they will know. Now, I want to tell you as a caution before we end the session that your voice is not, a voice alone is not enough. It's the best voice, but it's not enough. Tell somebody, my voice is good, it's the best, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Voice is not good enough. One voice is not good enough. Especially in the house where when one parent says something, the other parent says another thing. Not only is one voice not good, but now your disagreement is tearing the family apart. So speak to them, but speak in unity. So speak, number one, speak. Number two, speak in agreement. I thought you were coming to clean for me. You only clean my sweat anyway. What are you thinking? Let's be serious. Now, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:11 about agreeing parents. Again, if two lie together, or in fact, verse 9 is even better. It says that, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. Always remember that. Two are better than one. Okay. Now, the other scripture you need to know is that one shall put to flight 1,000, but two, 10,000. Two shall put to flight 10,000. Now, that's synergy right there. Synergistic. So when you speak to your child, husband and wife, it's 1,000 units of impact. But when you speak to the child and you are the wife and I come as a husband, I said, same thing. From today, you will make your bed before you go to school, before you eat breakfast. Otherwise, you won't eat breakfast. And then you don't like it because, you know, when they make their bed, they are usually late and you have to drop them. You don't like it, but you can't say it in front of them. You come and reinforce what mommy said. Like mommy said, if you do not make your bed, you will not eat breakfast. I don't care. If you're hungry and you fail a test, you will not eat. Immediately, it amplifies it 10 times in the heart of the child. That's security right there. That's safety. Now, if you say, make your bed, and the other person says, well, if you make your bed, then I'm going to be late for work. It's finished. The child sees the division. And Bible says that a house divided against itself shall not stand. And children, they are smart. They see these things. I have not disagreed. For the children, they know better not to ask me something and go and ask mommy, because you know she'll say the same thing. Yeah. But some of the things we've agreed about, we have strongly disagreed inside the bedroom. But that's between us. We come out strong, united. A family is strong when the front is united. Yeah. And the devil knows that. That's why. Never disagree. At least in the hearing of the children. If you have a disagreement, resolve it inside and come as a strong front. Two are better than one because they have a greater reward for their labor. Sometimes the reason we disagree is that we don't like the policies of the spouse. But you see, a bad policy is not, is still not reason, good reason to destroy the family. That's a policy, but the other one is the family. No, you can't do that. And sometimes because you've quarreled with the spouse, and you want to show that you are still angry. And you're because of you. The Bible says, be ye angry, but in the anger, sin not. Now you are displaying the disagreement is an extension of your indoor anger. You just want the children to know that I'm with you. I'm the good parent. I don't want you to be stressed. I don't want you to be late. And now you are forming factions, breaking the family by disagreeing. The children will not do well. Never. Never. No matter how angry you are with your spouse, don't disagree with him in front of the children. You're spoiling the family. So speak as a parent. Keep speaking. Number two, speak together. Speak in unity. Number three is allow the village to speak. Or develop a village speaking. There's a statement that says that a child is raised by a village. It takes a village to raise a child. It's true. It's true. It takes a village to raise a child. When John the Baptist was being baptized or being what? Dedicated, baby outdooring, the whole family came and they asked people, do you think this? You can see that they had an input. What I want to suggest to you is that do not, you know, as you grow, you realize that your children, they become familiar with your words. Familiarity sets in. Just like familiarity sets in between husband and wife. When your spouse says something, oh, but let your brother come and say, or pastor say, or somebody, same thing. Oh, what a wonderful idea. It's very annoying. I said it's very annoying. Am I dialing your number? I mean, this is what I've been saying over and over and how come? It's because a new voice that is respected has come. You know, in raising your children, no matter how strong you are as a parent, your voice become weak at a point. I've heard it. Oh, that's daddy again, man. That's the same instruction again. Oh, come on. Don't you get tired? One day my children said, oh, you know, mommy's going to scream again at this. Mommy's going to scream again. Look at what they're saying. Yeah, and they were telling me. I said, nonsense. Never let me hear you say. But it's true. Mommy actually came and screamed again. Mommy actually came. They're not their mother. So they are expecting the screaming. All they are hearing is noise, not what mommy is saying. But there's a lot of wisdom in what she's saying. Can you imagine that as mommy is speaking, they are just hearing noise. There she goes again. There she goes again. Look, just endure it. It will stop. Endure it. How long will it take? Don't say anything for 5 minutes. You get tired. Oh, thank God I survived it. That's what they are saying. Now, tell somebody, what a shock. Now, if you have enclosed yourself in one house, and some mothers do that, it's like you are God. If it hasn't come from you, it's not good. Your teacher said, how dare your teacher said that? And then you match up to the teacher. How dare you reprimanded my child? You hear somebody rebuke your child. How dare you? So now you are God. Nobody speaks to your child. But you don't have eyes everywhere. It's the only God that has. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil. But your child may look good in front of you, but at school it's very terrible. So good that when the teacher sends a report, you say the teacher is a bad teacher. Yeah, and there are parents like that. Yeah, yeah. You must have a heart that can accept a teacher's rebuke, principal's rebuke. And accept it. Pastors rebuke and accept it. Uncles and aunties rebuke and accept it. Church members, shepherds rebuke and accept it. It's not every rebuke you go and fight, you go and fight, you go and fight. If your child sees that my mother fights rebukes, he will misbehave anywhere and come and lie. Mommy, I know how mommy will behave. But I remember a day that I was spanked by the ruler at school for misbehaving. And I came home crying and I intentionally showed a little bruise. Mommy said, it's okay. I went to sleep. I said, I won't go to school. I won't go to school. So I went to sleep. That day, I didn't wake up early. I was there. Knock, 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 knock. Mother, get up. Get up where? You're going to school. I said, but yesterday I showed you. I showed you they beat me. Say, you're going back to the same school. If you had behaved well, they would not have spanked you. From that day, I started behaving at school. Because I know if they spank, my mother will not agree. Most of the things that the teachers spank your child about, they are right. Of course, there's a small percentage, but you are too paranoid. And if you keep moving your child from school to school and fighting teacher after teacher, you will next time have to fight the police. It's better the teacher fights your child for the misbehavior than the police. Trust teachers. Trust teachers. Sometimes our black skin makes us too paranoid. Your child, some of our children are very terrible. Yeah. Well, let me say it for you, because nobody will say it. The way you are, the teacher cannot even tell you how your child behaved. But some of the children are terrible. Yeah. Even if they spank for something they didn't do right. Listen, some teachers are terrible, but find out the facts first. Yeah. And sometimes just by your appearance, the teacher knows you are concerned. But don't go fighting the teacher. Ask the teacher, what happened? My child did this. Really? And then tell the child, if you do that next time, I'm going to spank you myself. And then actually form an alliance with the teacher. Teacher, thank you for helping my child. Sometimes bad teachers, when they see a very responsible parent, they stop misbehaving. The way to do it is not to fight the teacher. It's to say that, teacher, I'm forming an alliance. You cannot easily kick against somebody who has shown love to you. Yeah. Mother, it's in your interest, even if it's a bad teacher, for you to form an alliance. Just by that, don't fight the teacher. Don't fight the parent who rebuked your child. You won't win. The next time people will see it, when your child is misbehaving, nobody will say anything. You are a terrible mother if you fight any authority on behalf of your child without facts. Some of us behave as if our children are angels. Yeah. It's foolishness they are trying to take away from you, and then you don't pay any, and you are fighting it. Like I told you, find the facts, and if you find there's something wrong, of course you have every right to do it. But don't fight without facts just because that's your child. Children have foolishness. So number one, speak. Number two, agree with your spouse. Number three, have a village. Let the pastor speak to your child. Let the Bishop Dag, his child, at a point, he recognized this and said, no, I cannot. Even, you know, the children, he's talking again. So Bishop Oko, who was a little child at that time, youth pastor, they listened to him more than even the Bishop Dag himself. Bishop Dag wisely said, let me release them to Bishop Oko. At that time, it was Brother Oko, not even Pastor Oko, or maybe Pastor Oko. Not even Reverend, not even anything. But he raised the words were good. Try and find out somebody like that. Your voice is not enough, will never be enough. Yeah, will never be enough. It's the truth. Will never be enough. Yeah. The Bible says in Philippians 3, verse 1, for me to say the same thing to you is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Yeah, I can take care of, but other people, it's safe. All right? So let other people, especially if you're a pastor. Me, you can see my children are rebuked every day. Brother Spencer rebukes them. I have actually designated Brother Richard. Young people in this church, they can be rebuked by Brother Michael, Brother Richard, Pastor Nee, Brother Spencer, Uncle Rich. They just have uncles. It's a village of fathers. Even for those who do not have, they have single mothers. They have had so many, and they're doing well. They have a lot. One mother has come to tell me, Pastor, rebuke this guy for me. I said, Pastor, can you spank this guy for me? No problem. Amen. And in our children's church, there's a rule. Your child will not misbehave here. We will discipline the child. Yeah. We will call you in and we'll tell you that this child is disciplined. He's going on a timeout. We're calling the mother to come and see. We will let them know. Because if they don't do well, if you're doing well and your child is not doing well, you're not doing well. You're not doing well. You're not doing well. Ladies and gentlemen, at this point, we'll take a break. And then there's half of the thing left. We can take questions and answers or take a break. Formulate your questions.
I love to stand and rejoice. Lift my hands and raise my voice.
We believe the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Be blessed.
Singing praise, and I love to love you.